As the end of the year approaches, the White House is retooling its congressional agenda. In the new Congress, President Bush will see a Republican majority in both the House and the Senate. NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams spoke with the Bush administration's legislative director, Nick Calio.
Nick Calio, who'll be 50 in a few weeks, worked as congressional liaison for the first Bush administration. He then became a lobbyist for blue-chip corporations such as AT&T, Merrill Lynch, and Anheuser-Busch. Now he holds the job of chief Capitol Hill lobbyist for George W. Bush. Calio has a low public profile, but he's a key player in the president's inner circle and a major presence in political Washington. I spoke with him in his West Wing office, which prominently features a sketch of a fat cat lobbyist puffing on a cigar. Calio looks nothing like that image. He's a trim and dapper former high school football player from Cleveland. We spoke about issues ranging from the president's desire for Congress to approve drilling for oil in Anwar, the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, to the bitter Senate race between Georgia Democrat Max Cleland, a veteran who lost three limbs in Vietnam, and Republican Saxby Chambliss, who appeared to accuse Cleland of lacking patriotism for questioning the Homeland Security bill. I began by asking Mr. Calio what agenda the White House will be pursuing when the new Republican-led Congress convenes.
That obviously has not been finally decided yet, but we're looking at some obvious issues that are carryovers that the president would really like to get done. Medicare prescription drugs will be primary among them, probably. He would really like to get the faith-based initiative done this year. We pushed that awfully hard for this entire past Congress. That was not completed, and the president thinks it's such a good idea to have neighbors helping neighbors and to encourage that, that he wants to make that front and center again. Obviously, everybody knows we're looking at an economic growth and jobs package. We would like to accomplish some things probably in the way of legal reforms to help the economy more. There'll be a variety of trade initiatives and education initiatives. So it's going to be another full agenda, but it certainly is not, by any stretch of the imagination, completed yet.
Now, you got a Republican majority coming back, and I read where you said that if Trent Lott had been in charge in the past year or so since the Jeffords switch, you would have made more progress more quickly on trade bills and more. So now you're going to have that Republican majority. Do you expect that things are going to move more quickly?
I think the prospect is that they will move more quickly. I don't think by any stretch there's been some speculation in the media that, you know, we and the Republicans now will be able to ram through some big agenda of whatever we want to, and would that were true, but of course it isn't. The Republican Party certainly is not a monolith, but the fact that Trent Lott will be the majority leader in this next Congress and that the Republicans will control both the floor calendar and the ability to bring bills to the floor and the committee calendars is huge.
Now, I think there are lots of folks who might wonder whether or not there's going to be any air, realistically, left for a domestic agenda given the focus on not only the war on terrorism, but the possible war with Iraq.
I think the president believes that there is always room or air left for a domestic agenda, and I think we proved that this past Congress with the domestic items that were completed along with items for the war on terrorism.
Well, do you think that it's possible that, let's talk about war for a second, that you can maintain support on the Hill? Let's say that the inspections bog down and the UN doesn't approve the use of force?
I think we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. I don't want to speculate on that particularly, but I think we have very good support for where the president is on Capitol Hill. I think the series of almost endless classified briefings that we gave to members of Congress to lead up to the use of force resolution with Iraq paid a dividend in the sense that people understood more.
So you feel there's, at this point, no additional proof that you need to provide to members of the Congress?
No, I don't think that there is. I think the proof is there. I think we're working with the world community to see if we can disarm Iraq, and the focus has to be on disarmament, not on the inspections. And given the personality of the leader, it's not very likely that he just stopped the program when the inspectors left.
With regard to what would be patently an economic stimulus, what about tax cuts or making the tax cuts permanent? How aggressive will the president, will this White House, will you be on that issue?
The president's been very aggressive about making the tax cuts permanent. I think the president's made clear recently that he also thinks, given where the economy is right now, it's worthwhile looking at an economic growth and jobs package. The key is to produce more jobs, better jobs, and the economy might need the boost. And the president, as you know, is very much in favor of keeping more money in people's pockets so that they can spend it as they see fit.
But no short-term stimulus.
Well, it could be a short-term stimulus.
What would that be?
Well, one, I'm going to avoid that because there's a lot of items on the table. We're consulting with people on Capitol Hill, both Republicans and Democrats, and no final decisions have been made on that.
The energy bill, if there's one point that I would consider a difficulty for this administration up on the Hill, it's been the energy bill and the failure to get rights to drill in Anwar. What's the perspective for an energy bill in the future, and what are you looking to get out of it?
I think with where the various parties are on Capitol Hill, the prospects of an energy bill are difficult, frankly. We saw that this past Congress. It's not just Anwar. There are all sorts of issues that cut regionally across the United States, and there are very different interests in different parts of the country. And we pushed and we tried, and there were people like Congressman Tozan and Congressman DeLay who, you know, heroically tried to put a bill together, but at the end of the day, it didn't happen. I'm not sure, frankly, that ground has changed much.
Well, you're a persuasive guy, Nick Calio, but it doesn't seem to take with this Congress, or by and large, with the American people.
Well, as one Democratic senator said to me last year, he said, you know, I understand all your arguments. Frankly, I agree with them, but it's like a religion to the environmentalist.
So you just can't win on it, you think?
Well, I wouldn't concede that yet.
All right. One of the issues that's kind of still is ringing around on Capitol Hill after the midterms has to do with Senator Cleland and his loss to Saxby Chambliss. Do you think there's bad blood between Republicans and Democrats that will poison the well as we go forward?
No, actually I don't. I mean, I think that Saxby Chambliss was a better candidate. I think he'll be a superb senator for Georgia. And, you know, people can always find bad blood if they want to. I think the trick is to find the good blood and get things done.
Nick Calio is the White House Director of Legislative Affairs. Juan Williams, NPR News, Washington.